Well, good morning and shalom. Our parasha this morning is entitled Vayechi, which means, and he lived, and it finishes out the book of Genesis. In last week's parasha, Joseph continued to test his brothers to see if they were indeed different people from the ones who had sold him into slavery. When Judah offered to take the place of Benjamin as a slave, Joseph saw in them a glimmer of repentance and maturity. Finally overwhelmed with emotion, he revealed his identity to them. With the sons of Jacob finally reunited, Joseph brought his father to dwell in the best part of the land of Egypt, where God had promised to make them into a great nation. Parashah Vayechi records Jacob's actions and last words before his death in Egypt, beginning with his making Joseph swear to bury him in the land of Israel. After Joseph swore this oath, Jacob turned and bowed himself on the head of his bed, worshiping God, thanking him in advance for granting his last request. According to Hebrews 11, this was an act of faith, because Jacob knew that his descendants would not be in Egypt forever and would one day return to Canaan, the land of promise. In a sense, Egypt was to Jacob and his family what the ark was to Noah, just a temporary shelter from the disaster on the outside. God inspired Jacob to prophesy over Joseph's two sons from Egypt. Jacob gives Manasseh and Ephraim a special blessing and adopts them as his own sons and his own children, and he elevates them from grandsons to sons. Jacob insists on giving the younger Ephraim the right-hand position of primacy during the blessing, stating that Ephraim would be greater than his older brother. The passing over of the firstborn is a reoccurring theme throughout the book of Genesis. Seven times it happens. Seth over Cain, Shem over Japheth, Abraham over Haran, Isaac over Ishmael, Jacob over Esau, Joseph over Reuben, and now Ephraim over Manasseh. Because of Reuben's immorality with his father's concubines and the awful way that Simeon and Levi dealt with their enemies at Shechem, the blessing of the firstborn was given to Judah along with the most interesting prophecy. The prophecy refers to the ruling position of the tribe of Judah amongst his brethren. Judah inherited the leadership aspect of the firstborn's inheritance. Jacob also prophesied that the Messiah, the one referred to as Shiloh, would come from the line of Judah. Yeshua himself is Shiloh, the name meaning he whose right it is, a title understood to refer to the coming Messiah. Overall, this blessing upon Judah is an example of the riches of God's grace, because even Judah didn't start out as an exemplary character. He did, however, shine when he interceded and offered himself as a substitute for Benjamin. In that way, Judah was a foreshadowing of Yeshua, who became a substitute and ransom for all who placed their faith and trust in him. Jacob dies at the ripe old age of 147 and is brought by his sons to the land of Canaan, accompanied by a great procession of Egyptian royalty, where he is buried alongside his wife Leah, his parents Isaac and Rebekah, and his grandparents Abraham and Sarah. After their return to Egypt, the brothers then fear that Joseph will take revenge now that their father is dead. In the Godfather saga, and I don't know if any of you have seen that, but in the Godfather saga, the main character, who is a mob boss, is betrayed by his brother. He cuts off all relations with his brother, but he spares him from death, at least while their mother is still living. Once the mother died in the movie, the mob boss promptly had his brother killed. This is a depiction of human nature in its simplest form. Our nature is to take vengeance and to repay evil with evil. But God says that vengeance is his and to repay evil with kindness. Joseph knew that it was not his place to exact vengeance on his brothers, and instead he reassures them that he bears no hard feelings, stating that his being sold into slavery was all part of God's divine plan. What they meant for evil, Adonai turned around and made it good. The Torah portion concludes with Joseph's death and the Jewish people's promise to carry his bones with them to Israel when they are finally redeemed by God. For those of us who have placed our faith and trust in Yeshua, we need to think as Jacob did. This world is not our true inheritance or our home. Something greater awaits us. Rabbi Paul wrote, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Yeshua from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." We should act like ambassadors sent with a mission of peace and reconciliation. We should represent our Heavenly Father here on this earth and carry out the mission that he gave us to preach and teach his word to this dying world. And then when our mission is ended, either by Adonai calling us home or our being raptured, we will enter into the true land of promise, our eternal home, which is in heaven. Ephraim and Manasseh's adoption by Jacob elevated their status within their family, and it blessed them both then and in the future. That adoption is a reminder that nobody is naturally born into the family of God. In fact, we come into this world separated from the holy three-in-one God, and the only way to get into his family is to be adopted. When does this adoption take place? Well, from God's perspective, it took place in eternity past. The book of Ephesians tells us, "For God the Father chose us in Messiah before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, God predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Yeshua." From our perspective, it took place at the moment that we placed our faith and trust in the completed work of Yeshua, and we transferred our lives and our loyalty to him. When parents adopt a child, they choose a boy or a girl that they want to bring into their family. The child inherits all the rights and all the privileges of that family. And though at times the parents might be disappointed or even angry with their child, he or she is still always their child. No one is ever unadopted, except maybe that one Russian kid that got sent back to Russia. But other than that, no one else is unadopted. But this is also true of God's family. When we were adopted into his family, we were transformed from slavery to children of the king. And no matter what happens, our God will never unadopt us or leave us or forsake us. Yeshua himself said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And what is the will of he who sent him? "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day." The story of Joseph illustrates perfectly the relationship between God's sovereign power and the often poor choices that people make. Joseph's experiences taught him well. Having been betrayed by his brothers, imprisoned on false charges brought by Potiphar's wife, and then being forgotten for 2 full years after doing good to Pharaoh's cupbearer, all taught Joseph that God could overrule the evil of humans to accomplish good for those who serve him. And it points me to a favorite passage of mine, which is Romans 8:28, and it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." And that tells me that no matter what happens in my life, God can turn it around and use it for my good and for his glory, just like he did for Joseph. The book of Genesis began with a man in the Garden of Eden, and it ends with a man in a coffin in Egypt. Paradise had been lost, and the world needed to be redeemed from sin. Thus, the groundwork had been laid, and the transition is natural to the opening verses of the book of Exodus, or the book of redemption, where God will raise up a new prophet and leader in his servant Moses. May you all have a blessed year, and Shabbat Shalom, everyone.